Pray that the hand of God would be upon His Word and honor His Word this morning as we begin to look into the Word of God. The book of Judges chapter 6, and we've been talking about the commanded blessing. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, but I want to talk to it in a way, Lord, or this morning, that help us to understand that God has created us all to possess everything that He's created for us. We are designed to possess everything that God has created for us, and with nothing missing or nothing lacking. How many want to possess everything God has for you? Amen. How many want to be a part of everything that God has for you? And I believe we're going to release that this morning in this house. And so the book of Judges chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse 12. A very familiar story to you this morning, but I want to preach it to you in a different way and from a different angle this morning. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "O Lord, if the Lord is with me, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all of His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Do not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of breakthrough. And we pray this morning that this word would be a word of breakthrough for so many. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we might receive what you're trying to say to the house of God this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is living, it is alive, and it's true. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would put His blessing on the reading of God's word. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. If I was standing there next to Gideon this morning, as God spoke to him, Gideon's response is like a lot of our responses. Gideon began to tell God why he could not do what God was asking him to do. And if I was standing there this morning, I guess the question that I would have for Gideon, as the question that I would have for you, is when Gideon spoke to him and said, "I am the least of my clan, I am the least of my father's house, Lord, how in the world could you ever use me? Lord, how in the world could I ever, ever be in the place where I could ever make a difference?" I would ask Gideon the same question that I offered to you this morning. And the question is, who told you that? Who told you you could not be what God says you could be? You know, there's a couple of metaphors in the scripture that is used in the animal family to help describe the nature and character of Jesus. One of them we're very familiar with and we like to talk about, and He's described as the Lamb of God. It speaks of His humility and His gentleness and His willingness to live life sacrificially. This is one of the most of that we are most familiar with, and we lift this trait up as admirable. Of course, we know that we all would like to be like Jesus and walk in humility. We know that description metaphorically is something that we would all like to emulate and become part of, and it's biblical, it's appropriate, and it's necessary. We all should be at times walk with humility and walk in gentleness and walk sacrificially in our lives and identify with Jesus as a lamb. But there's another metaphor that's used in the scripture to describe Christ and to describe Jesus, and it's extremely important, and in my opinion, it's the most underutilized of all the metaphors that is used to describe Him in the body of Christ. That metaphor is the metaphor that Jesus is not just a lamb, but He is also a lion. And it says, I can hear to tell you that when you read Scripture, it was the lion or it was the lamb that went to the cross. But it's the lion that will return. It is the lamb that stood before Pilate, but it was the lion who went in the temple and began to overturn the temple table changers. And the lion speaks of his resolute, his resiliency, his assertiveness, his strength, his willingness to not be denied, his tendency to overcome every obstacle that is laid before him, his refusal to adopt the mentality of a victim and determine to be a victor instead of a victim, his willingness to even walk alone if he had to, even if his inner circle denied him at times. He is not just a lamb, but he is also a lion. And if we're going to be like Christ, it's good and nice at times to be like the lion. But there's a time as believers we have to also walk as a lion instead of a lamb. In other words, we have to hold to the tension of these two character traits. If we don't learn how to walk and adopt the mentality of a lion, then sometimes we have to learn how to walk. And I came in here to wake up a few lions this morning. I came in here to preach to you, to unleash a few lions that are in here this morning. You've been walking as a lamb, but God wants to open you up and let the lion of the tribe of Judah that lives inside you to be released in your life this morning. Because if you're going to possess what God has for you, you have to learn to act and walk as the lion of the tribe of Judah who lives inside you. In other words, there's got to be a resolve about you. There has to be a resiliency that's inside of you. At times you have to be a fighter, and there are times you have to assert. There'll be times when you have to be an overcomer and when you'll have to walk in victory. Understand that this is essential in order for you to come to the place. Jesus is our head, and Jesus is sometimes we take Jesus as many things, but sometimes we have a tendency to predict or to project Jesus, not a Jesus of the Bible, but of Jesus of many other things. Matter of fact, the question is a lot of times, which Jesus are people talking about? There's a lot of Jesuses that are out there. How many would say there's a lot of Jesuses that are out there? There's the compromising Jesus that says you can live any way you want and still have Jesus. There's the religious Jesus that says that you've got to do it my way or you can't do it right at all. There's the legalistic Jesus that says that you have to outperform and you have to be in uniformity or you have to look like us, act like us, or you're not like Jesus. There's the nobody goes to hell Jesus, which means that anybody that is born can go to heaven. They don't have to be born again. They can just live however they want and everybody goes to heaven. There's the just the teacher Jesus, which means I like some of what Jesus says, but he can't really be Lord of my life. He can just teach me a few things. There is the only on Sunday Jesus. Come on, y'all help me this morning. I got some only on Sunday Jesuses that I only want to know, talk about, hear about, live out Jesus on Sunday morning. And then there's the still on the cross Jesus. Huh? Come on, y'all help me. There's the still on the cross Jesus. There's the I'm in crisis Jesus, which means there are those who only pull on Jesus when they're in crisis. Any other time, they don't really worry about where he is or what he does. Only when they need him do they call upon him. When things get bad, then they want to start calling on Jesus. Woo! And then there's the put Jesus in the box Jesus. In other words, Jesus can only do this and do that, that Jesus is only this way or that way, and that you have an image of Jesus, and if somebody else challenges that image, that Jesus is put in a box, and he don't heal today, and he don't heal the sick today, and the gifts of the Spirit have died today, I'm here to tell you that there is a Jesus. I said a Jesus that is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the fact that you only find Jesus when he's Lord Jesus in your life. That is the Lion of the tribe of this Judah. And we have to discern when we use and what season we use the Lamb of God in our life and the Lion in our life. In other words, when we begin to look, I like what Dan Heading said. He said, the gift of salvation is not just a destination, but it's a door that leads to a new life under new management. And if you walk through the door, you step into some things on the other side. And you don't have to wait to heaven to experience it. But once you walk through, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth if you just believe that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Huh? Salvation is not just a destiny, but it's a door that opens up to you that you're able to walk through. And when you walk through, there is a life on the other side. And the life on the other side is led by the Lion of the tribe of Judah that says you can possess everything God has for you. Huh? Woo! Come on, wake up some lions this morning. And that we can have a little bit of heaven here on earth. What many believers don't understand is this. If we understand that if what is for you must be fought for and stood for. What God has for you, what Jesus has for you, at times must be fought for and stood for. What is for you must be fought for and stood for. You know, when you read the Old Testament, this is the primary purpose of reading the Bible and the messages of the battles of the Old Testament. Not just to reveal the bloodiness, not just to exalt the violence of the Old Testament, but it teaches us a reality of life we must be prepared to embrace. In other words, to experience God's best, we must step into a Canaan land promise that God has provided for us. And that when we step in, we have to understand there will require some battles for us. And so the church's purpose is not just to teach us how to serve and to love and to live, but also to teach the church and the body that there are times we have to fight. There's times we have to war. There's times we have to push. And there's times we have to press our way into the promises of God for our lives. And God's best for us. We have to understand that Canaan land, we were led into Canaan land by Joshua. We were led into salvation by Jesus, who is our Joshua, who was given to you and me. And how Israel got into Canaan land, once they got into Canaan land, they also had to fight. They had to fight for victory. They didn't have to fight for victory. They had to fight from a place of victory. And so you and I this morning, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah that lives in us, we don't fight for victory this morning because the victory was already won a couple thousand years ago. Victory has already been provided. The conquest has already been done. What has to take place is we don't fight for victory. We have to learn how to fight from victory. We have to understand that you and I, we are already victors this morning. We are already on the side of the team that won. We are already going to heaven. We have already got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. What we need to learn is how to fight to possess everything. morning. Uh-huh. Woo! And so what God has for you, you have to fight for. Y'all know every fight's fixed. You know that, don't you? Jesus died and rose again as our Joshua and defeated the last enemy that we have, which is death. So what is for you has to be fought for. What is for you has to be fought for. In other words, your fight is an expression of the working of your faith. I said your fight this morning. The fight that you have in you is an expression of the working of your faith. In other words, the disposition of the Lamb is a representation of our character. In other words, we exude Jesus in us as the Lamb. The attributes of the Lamb represents our character. But when it comes to the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lion that is inside of us, our disposition should be one that we should come as an expression of purpose. The Lion in you is to help you find the purpose that God has for your life. The Lion in you rises up when it's time for you to take the territory and the places in life that God has meant for you to have, your family to have, your life to be, and what God has designed you for and created you for. When it's time to take that possession, then you shall awaken the Lion of the tribe of Judah that lives on the inside of you. The fight is an expression of your faith that is working. If you believe it's yours, you'll fight for it. Right? I said, if you believe it's yours, you'll fight for it. If I drove to my house after church today, and I get to my home, and somebody is carrying off things that belong to me, huh? Come on now. Somebody's got my bowl of banana pudding and heading out the door. It's on, right? I said it's on, right? Why is it on? Because you know that what you have is what you possess and it belongs to you. And if anybody tries to take what's belonged to you, you have a right to fight for it and defend for it and to believe for it and to not give up for it. I'm here to tell you there are things that belong to the child of God that we have a right to fight for. And that belongs to us. That should awaken. There are some things that should awaken the Lion that's in you. Oh, y'all hear me this morning. My willingness to confront them when they begin to take things that belong to me. If you don't have peace that passes understanding, will you fight for it? Mm-hmm. Will you fight for the joy that's unspeakable in glory? Will you fight for the purpose that is in your life? If you don't believe that peace passes understanding, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe that God has blessings for you to possess, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe God can do it, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe the Holy Ghost is who He says He is, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe the church is what it's supposed to be, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe that God wants to change lives of people, you won't fight for it. But if you believe it and believe that God can do anything, and there's nothing that's impossible for God, there's nothing that a believer would not fight for as long as he knows that God desires him to have it. Hallelujah! Ha ha. Woo! If you don't believe one man for one woman and one woman for one man, you won't fight for it. See, y'all, okay. Uh-huh. If you don't believe righteousness exalts a nation, you ain't gonna fight for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Come on. I need to wake up the little lambs this morning. Stop being passive. Stop walking around like you defeated all the time. Stop walking around like with your head down. Huh? Start walking around like there's an authority that's in your life to be able to have what God says you can have. Why do we have to be passive all the time when we talk about Jesus? Most people talk about Jesus and like, yeah, I like Jesus. You can come to my church. We talk about him. Huh? And we get weak. We get like lambs. We get sheepish. Like we're being led to some slaughter. Like the world has something on us that we don't have. Can I remind you? He's already defeated the world. And victory is in you. It's a matter of the lion waking up and possessing everything that God has for us. If you don't believe life is sacred, you won't fight for it. If you don't believe the Word of God matters, you won't fight for it. And the problem is, we haven't been fighting for it. I said, we haven't been fighting for it. If you believe God can win a city, you got to fight for it. If you believe God can change marriages, you got to fight for it. If you believe God can transform the drug addicts in this city, you got to fight for it. If you believe revival can come to Madison High School and Southwestern High School, you got to fight for it. Yes! If you believe God's a healer, you got to fight for it. Hallelujah! If you believe you got destiny, you got to fight for it. Ah! Woo! If you believe every promise in the Word of God, you got to fight for it. You got to work your faith and fight for it. Faith shows that you're in a fight. I'm telling you, this is what the battles of the Old Testament teach us. It teaches us, listen, we all love the story of Jericho and Joshua at the walls of Jericho. Y'all know the song, right? Y'all learned it in Sunday school. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Huh? Come on, y'all help me. Some of y'all Sunday school. Listen, y'all just like. And what they do when the walls came tumbling down, right? And they shout, they walk around, they shout, right? You know, I got to thinking about that story and I thought, God, we act like when the walls fell, everything was finished. You realize that the walls just gave them access to it. The walls gave them access to the city. And guess what they had to do? They had to fight for it. That once the walls fell, they had to go in and possess what God has given them. The walls was just a sign that God was with them and on their side. And once they realized God was with them, they knew they could go and take possession of everything He has for them. They had to fight for it. Ha ha. Woo! Because you don't step into what God has for you without a fight. All the promises of God are occupied by opposition and must be overthrown for us through the experience of His promise. Hallelujah. In other words, the inhabitants of all the land God gave. Listen, Joshua brought them into the land. And He brought them into this land. Joshua got them there. He led them there. But He said, once you're there, you've got to drive out the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the whateverites, the Chigarbites, and the Gershabites, and everything that bites, you got to run it out. You already got the victory because you've crossed into the promised land. The conquest has already been made. It's just a matter of possessing what God has for you. Now you just have to step in and drive out what keeps you from what God's got for you. Come on, I feel it coming up. I feel some lions getting ready to be released. We look at the book of Judges, it teaches us. I begin to look at the book of Joshua, talks about the conquest. But when you get to the book of Judges, what we begin to see is, we begin to see this blueprint of God teaching us how to fight, teaching us how to war, teaches us how to fight, how to be battle, how to fight in the battle. When we begin to look at this and begin to see this blueprint through the book of Joshua, we begin to see that God begins to lay a standard. And I love it. It all begins in chapter 1 of the book of Judges. It all begins with the first verse. Listen, I'm going to give you some principles and how you're to fight, how you're to possess, how you are to possess and take what God has given you. Do you know what did God say in Deuteronomy 28? He says, the land shall be yours. It is yours. I shall give you the land, and everywhere your foot trods, everything you possess shall become yours if you'll just go after it. Okay, just a couple of you are excited about what God has for you. But that's all right. I'm going to go ahead anyway. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now after the death of Joshua came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall first go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? Now look at this. When Joshua, in the book of Judges, Joshua led them into the promised land. So why are they talking about fighting after Joshua? Now Joshua led them into a conquest. He took territory by force. In other words, Jesus led us into our conquest. He took death, hell, and the keys from the devil. He defeated everything that represented hell. But the book of Judges is not about conquest, it's about possession. And our Christian life is not about conquest because the victory has already been won. We are not fighting, as I said before, from a place up to victory. We are fighting from victory. It's already been done, folks. Now we just have to fight to it and possess it and control and walk in what God. Now what the responsibility of the tribes were once they got into Canaan is that they all had parts of inheritance. They all had plots. They had won the national war, but the tribes, the small tribes, had to go take territories that were given to them in order that they would possess and be able to have the inheritance that God gave them. Now, each one of the tribes were given land. Each one of them were given territory to possess. Now, they won the victory when they came through in the Canaan, but they had to learn to take their own territory. In other words, they had to learn to fight what was already given to them. And I'm here to tell you there are some people here that have not really taken the territory that God has promised you or given you. And what you have to understand that God will put the lion in you to wake you up to go ahead and possess everything God has for you and for your family. Hallelujah. In other words, we fight for dominion. The book of Joshua chapter 18 and verse 3, it says this. It says, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your God, your fathers, had given you? What did Joshua say? How long is it going to take you to go possess what belongs to you? How long will you wait before you possess what has already been given you? How long will you wait till you experience what you've been singing about? How long is it going to take you for you to possess what you've been reading about? How long is it going to take you to possess what we've been preaching about, what you've been talking about, what your faith says you can have, what you've been worshiping about, what you've been praying about, what you've been asking God for? How long is it going to take you till you get to the place to where you go ahead and take possession of what's already yours? The maze of misery. In other words, how long is it going to take you to come out of the maze of misery to the place of hope that God has given you? I'm here to tell you, Joshua said, how long is it going to take for you to possess the land that God has given you? Judges teaches us to possess. We can understand the reality of a biblical life that we do not experience. Listen, we can understand the reality of a big biblical life, but not be experiencing it. Y'all understand what I can preach promises up here all day long. I can preach healing. I can preach all the good things that the Scripture offers. I can preach everything the believer can have and walk in, and you can have an understanding and a reality of it, but not possess it. Anybody hearing me this morning? You know there's truths that you can hear about, but you can't possess because you have not taken possession of them, because you have not embraced them, because you have not fight for them. And in Judges here in this chapter, look what it says. I love this. It says, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? Now, God answers. God gives them an answer. When we look at this, we can look at this metaphorically. They're going into the land that they have to possess, and they said, who now shall lead us first? Who shall go up first before us? Now, if you remember, when Joshua went into the Canaan land, who led them into the Canaan land? Who led them across the Jordan? Who was it that led them? Come on, you Bible scholars. Huh? Well, Joshua led them, but who went first? Okay, who said it? The priest. And the Ark of the Covenant went first. Is that not right? When they went in to possess the land, it was the Ark of the Covenant that went first, that led them in. In other words, in Joshua's day, it was the representation of the priesthood that went first. It's what led them in. In other words, it was a conquest. And so the spiritual authority and leadership led them into conquest. But conquest is much different than possession. Because we come in differently when we're getting ready to possess than we do when we're trying to conquer. And God said, here's how you go in to possess what you want to possess. Hang on with me. We're getting ready to take off and fly out of here real high this morning. If you'll get this, and I'm not going to get through all of it, but if you'll get this, you'll fly out of here and you'll leave out of here ready to take what belongs to you. He said this. He said, we went in last time with the priest and the ark. He said, but this time, who shall go up for us? And verse 2, the Lord said, and said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into your hands. He said, this time, Judah shall go up first. Judah shall lead you in. Judah shall be the one that goes up first. And what does that mean? Well, the name Judah means praise. It means worship. In other words, what he's saying is that when you go in to take possession, how this applies to our life, when we get ready to engage in battle, what we have to understand, what we are seeing in the Old Testament, and the example that God has given us here, he's saying send Judah first. Why do you send Judah first? Because we believe that God gives the victory in every battle. And what does that mean? That means this, that what has to go first is worship. Worship and praise goes first. When you begin, before you can ever take possession, you have to learn that praise has to go first. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Do you remember about a year and a half ago, I did a teaching on mind wars? And when I was studying for that, I came across something that I didn't get to when I was teaching. But I came across it and I found it to be interesting. And what it is this, is that what we have to understand is I come across a term that's called mindfulness. And mindfulness comes out of a study called neoplasticity or neogenesis. It's the study of the mind. And it speaks how the brain can be trained to always respond the same way subconsciously. Mindfulness. In other words, they say that you can train the brain to respond the same way subconsciously, even consciously, if you're not aware of it. Let me give you an example. When I first got my driver's license, as many of you, I got in the car and my father was in the car. Y'all know I had a wreck the first time my dad took me out. I tried to stop at this stop sign, and instead of hitting the brake, I hit the gas. And I rear-ended this guy. My dad was so mad, he made me walk home. He took the car and left. He called me a few nice names, but I won't repeat those because they're not PG. But when you learn to drive, you first get in the car, and you consciously learn how to drive. You put your hands at 10 and 2, right? And you're watching the road, and you're driving down the road, and you're conscious of your driving, right? It's a conscious thing. You're purposely learning how to do it. But after a while, and once you get used to it, and you've done it a few times, and you've trained yourself, you don't no longer have to do it consciously at 10 and 2, but you get in the car, and now you subconsciously do it. You get in the car, you start the car, and you just go down the road. You're like, hey. You know what I mean? You say, hey, hey, beep, beep. Hey, what's up? You know what I'm saying? You got the music going. You got the seat back. Your car, you're rocking, right? Yeah. You're subconsciously doing what you used to consciously do. Huh? Come on, y'all help me in here. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I've watched some of y'all drive. I know what you're doing. And what happens is, you know that you can worry so much, the brain becomes hardwired. That every time there's anything of a threat to your well-being, you can go right immediately into the worry and deep despair. You can consciously train your mind to that. And the only way to override that is that you have to subconsciously again to begin to do something consciously to retrain that part of your subconscious mind that frees you from the grip of that. In other words, what has to happen is that if you're always responding negative to something and your mind's been trained always to respond negatively, you will do it without ever being mindful that you do it. You know what? I've met negative people that really don't know that they're negative. Huh? Come on, y'all. Y'all met them? They don't even know they're negative. They will tell you, you mention something good, and they'll tell you 10 reasons why that ain't good. And they'll do it so fast, they don't even realize they've even said it to you. But their mind has been trained to negatively respond to everything that is positive. And what has happened is, they've never learned how to train their mind and train their mind to consciously be mindful of everything that comes through their thinking. So here's what's interesting. Now hang on to this. Are y'all ready? When you begin to worship and praise, when you begin to praise God in every situation, now hear me, every situation, there's a battle that comes against you. There's a battle that comes against your family. There's a battle that comes against your destiny. Now, what happens is when you begin to praise, it releases something psychologists say is what's called gratefulness. Huh? Y'all hearing me? So when you begin to worship and praise in a situation, when you begin to praise God, all of a sudden, while you're praising, all of a sudden, what's released is an attitude and a spirit of gratefulness. And what happens is that gratefulness becomes a mindfulness. Now, what is mindfulness? It is an awareness of thought, emotions, and experience. The more I am mindful of God, the more gratitude I have for all that He has done for me. And the more gratitude I have, the more confidence I have in the present. See, when we begin to worship and praise, what begins to happen is there's a gratefulness that comes on us. It comes on us and we become mindful of the goodness of God. We become mindful of who He is. We become mindful that He's a good God. We become grateful for what He's done in the past. We become grateful for what He has brought us through and where He is taking us. We become mindful. Listen, what drugs do to people sometimes and the purpose of them is to put people in a state where they're not mindful of what their pain is. That's what drugs sometimes do. They put people in a state where they're unaware of their mindfulness. But guess what? When Judah goes first, when you get ready to go into battle, and you put Judah out there first, what begins to happen is you begin to all of a sudden begin to think about the mindfulness of God's work in your life. all of a sudden, when they would go up and Joshua would put them out front and they started going out in praise and worship, they became mindful of what God did in the past. They said, hey, He opened the Red Sea for us and we came across. He opened the Jordan for us and we came across. They became mindful of what God used to do, and it gave them confidence in the very presence of where they're at. And God wants to create. See, gratitude cultivates confidence. Gratitude fans the flame of faith. Gratitude, it's the things that God has done in our life. In other words, you'll enter different. Your inner self will be different. Your outward posture will be different. You'll walk different, talk different, worship different, praise different, live for God different when you become mindful of who He is. The reason why Judah goes first is to get you mindful of the God that you serve. Can I tell you that all of a sudden when the enemy attacks you, all you need to do is say, devil, I'm going to start worshiping, because I just need the Holy Spirit to remind me where I was before. I just need to remind me what He brought me through. I used to be sick, but now I stand here healed. I used to be lost, but now I'm saved. And so, devil, I know I'm in a fight, but I want you to know I'm going to praise my way all the way through it. Why? Because I want to be mindful of the God we serve. Woo! Hey! Somebody send Judah out first. Woo! Hey! Somebody! Woo! You get a revelation of that, baby. There ain't no devil in hell will be able to take what belongs to you. I said belongs to you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm closing with this. Adam, come. Oh, my God. I ain't got the time. I ain't even got partly way through all of this. Maybe just what you needed to hear this morning is that Judah needs to go first. Maybe what you need to go, you may be getting ready to enter a battle, but you sing all the way through it. Huh? Huh? People around you be going, why are you singing? Your husband just left you. Why are you singing? I'll tell you why I'm singing. Because God's going to get me through it like He got me through the rest of it. Woo! Come on! Hey! I don't care how simple the song is. Mary had a little lamb. I don't know. Woo! Joshua said, how long y'all going to wait to start taking what God's given you? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying to this church. How long are we going to wait till we go ahead and take what God has given us? Huh? How long are we going to wait till we step into everything that God has promised us as a church? Huh? How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to sit back and wait for God to open a door for you? You know, sometimes you just got to kick it in. Sometimes you just got to worship your way into it. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm going to sing all the way there. I don't know how God's going to hear my marriage, but I'm going to go to bed singing. I'm going to wake up singing. I'm going to leave the house singing. I'm going to ride in the car singing. Why? Because Judah's going to go first. Because when Judah goes first, there's a mindfulness that comes in me that lets me know there's a God that's bigger than I am, and I don't have to fight the battle. He's already won it. I can go ahead and possess it. Woo! Oh! So Judah and Simeon went up to overtake the Canaanites. And they captured this king. And his name was Adonai Benzik. Whatever. I'm not an English major. I'm not a Hebrew scholar either. They captured this fat king.
Huh.
And then the text tells us something very interesting. It says that when they subdued him and they captured him, one translation says when they bound him, when they got him, it says they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his toes, his big toe. Yeah, they cut off his thumbs and they cut his big toes off. This king they captured. You say, well, why'd they do that? Why is the scripture being so specific about what they did to this king? Why'd they cut off his thumbs and his toes? See, what they wanted to make sure was, when they go into battle to possess, the word Adonai and his name, it really means, it comes from a word that means master. It comes from a word that means to manipulate or to come from behind is what it means. And so they cut off his fingers or his thumbs and they cut off his toes. And the reason was is they cut off his thumbs because as long as his thumbs were cut off, he couldn't pick up a sword and fight back because he couldn't grip. Because the thumb is the key to the grip of your weapon. And so they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his toes because the big toe is the center and the core of all your balance. And you're off balance. If you don't have your big toes, you can't stand and defend. If you don't have your big toes, then you can't fight back. If you don't have your thumbs, then you can't pick up a sword and attack and retaliate and fight back. And so what they wanted to do and what they wanted to make sure happened was that this king that means that comes from behind or means master or ruler or controller of life, they wanted to make sure that in the next season that the potential of him getting back his grip in another season of life was cut off. What they wanted to make sure was that they dealt with him in this season so that in the next season, he won't show up again and come back and try to fight back again. When you go into battle and you begin to take territory that God has given you, not only do you go up in praise, but you've got to begin to cut off the thumbs and the toes of those things that have tried to hold you back from what God has for you. There's some of you got some things in your life that has been a ruler over you, and they've ruled over you long enough. And it's time for you to start chopping off some thumbs and some toes. Huh? Y'all hearing me? Stand with me. Listen. Stand with me this morning. Start cutting off some toes and some thumbs so that when you get down the road and start possessing some things God given you, you don't have to fight that battle again. You don't have to go back and take territory you've already taken. You don't have to go back and fight that giant or fight that thing that once possessed you and once manipulated you or once had control over you. Listen and listen. Hey, when God saves you and delivers you and sets you free, there are some things that God cuts off in your life that he does not want you to let come back. Y'all hearing me? And the problem is, how many know it's hard to fight new battles when you constantly have to go and fight old battles? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I'm here to tell you, it's time to cut off some things. It's time to cut off those things so that they can't regain their grip again. It tells me that the possession of the land, God comes. He wants us to cut off the things that slay us and stand against us so that in another season, they can't come back to us. They can't come back and possess over us. Hallelujah. I'm here to wake up some lions this morning. I just got this thing started. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! Some of you got to start putting Judah first. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for everybody to let me pray for them. because I want you to be a possessor. You have to understand that you fight from a place of conquest this morning. You don't fight from a place of obtaining victory. Victory's already won. And I want to pray for you this morning. And I want you to come down and I want you to put Judah first. I want you to come and I want you to be mindful. I want Judah to go first. I want your praise to come and let it be on your lips. I want your praise to be out front. No matter what your battle is, no matter what your circumstances in, I want the devil to see your praise. Because if Judah can go first, if Judah can go first, God will awaken your mindfulness of who He is in your life. And if you'll get a revelation of how big your God is, if you'll get a revelation of how awesome He is, what He can do, what He can bring breakthrough in, if you understand that you serve a God that has the ability to bring you out and bring you through, you will worship differently this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey, how many got some things? How many people got some thumbs and toes of some things that are hounding them they need cut off? Hallelujah. Now listen, y'all. I'm going to be frank and front with you. This is altar time. And you should be just as excited as the altar as you are worship. This is no joke here. And if it was your daughter or son or you, you would want your body behind you praying for you. Hallelujah. 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 My God, my God. We're ready to cut some things off. Hallelujah. Come on, you want prayed for. Come on. Come on, you want prayed for. Come. 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 You want prayed for. You want to release great mindfulness in your life. You want to release, let Judah go first. Say, God, I want Judah to go first. Guys, you need to come help me. Spread these people out so I can pray for them. Come on, the Holy Ghost is going to, come on. Come on, guys. Where are my guys? Come on. Where are y'all at? Come on. Y'all stand there looking at me. Don't look at me. Help these people spread out. Come on, let's go. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, let's go. Hallelujah. Come on, will you worship with us? Worship with us. Come on, worship with us. Come on, Adam, lead us. Lead us. Lead us. Come on, worship.
Let your name be lifted high as our thankful hearts now cry, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up your hands, you ancient gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. The King is coming in. Oh, the King is coming in. We lift up a shout to shake the sky. Lift up a cry, be glorified. The King is coming in. Oh, the King is coming in. Whoa, whoa. For your glory, Lord. We will lift up a shout to adore you. Every sound that we make, it is for you. We will dance for your glory, Lord. For salvation's in this place. You're the name by which we say, Jesus, Jesus. Let your name be lifted high as our thankful hearts now cry, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up the grand, you ancient gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. The King is coming in. For the King is coming in. Lift up a shout to shake the sky. Lift up a cry, be glorified. The King is coming in. For the King is coming in. A song to sing, and we'll bring in our lives as an offering. We will dance.
Where's the council? All my councilmen, come here. Line up right here, all my councilmen. All my councilmen, come here. Line up, face me this way. Back up. Back up, y'all getting drunk this morning. Y'all getting the Holy Ghost. Come on. Woo! A renewing of the Holy Ghost. Come on, where's my man? Where's my man? Where's my man? Where's my man?